Dan, the man.
My name's Dan, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, hi, Dan.
Well, can everybody close their eyes? It'd be a lot. No. Anyways, my name's Dan, I'm an alcoholic. Did I already say that? Yeah, I already said that. I want to welcome anybody who's new to Alcoholics Anonymous and let you know that you're welcome here in this fellowship. And we want you to stick around long enough to hear the message, and that message is hope and how recovering from a seeming hopeless state of mind and body. And I love sharing that. Every time I share, every time you hear me, I'm always going to say that, because when I got here, that's what happened to me, is that you guys welcomed me. And I didn't feel welcome pretty much anywhere. You know, prior to Alcoholics Anonymous, there was two places I was most comfortable with, and that was in the back of a cop car and the chain up to go back to prison. You know what I mean? I was able to, breathe. And I come in Alcoholics Anonymous and I can breathe, you know. You know, I was sitting back there and I was thinking about all this stuff I was going to say, but I'm not going to share it, you know what I mean? You know, I want to start off by thanking Billy to ask me to be his 10-minute speaker, and it's an honor and privilege, and Billy's been like a family member, you know, not only here in Alcoholics Anonymous, but also in my home life, you know, and I got to share his birthday with him, you know, that morning, and man, I don't know, I love Alcoholics Anonymous and the friendships and the relationships we have with each other here, you know. It wasn't anything I was having out there in the streets, you know, it was like cutthroat out there, you know what I mean? It wasn't living at all. It was like, you know, always at any given moment, something bad was going to happen, you know what I mean? And today I don't have to live like that, you know? I showed up here at Alcoholics Anonymous May 30th, 2013. I don't know what time it was, you know, the third, fourth, fifth, 100th time, but I showed up this time and I completely surrendered to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? Because prior to Alcoholics Anonymous, the way I was living was not living at all. But yet I was so comfortable with being restless, irritable, and discontent. I take a couple of drinks, I'm still restless, irritable, and discontent. Then I gotta find the right combination of things, you know, outside issues, you know, and stuff like that, recreational drugs, and I was still restless, irritable, and discontent, you know what I mean? And what I learned here in Alcoholics Anonymous is I kept trying to fill up with all this stuff on the outside to try and make me feel good on the inside, you know what I mean? I was Gucci on the outside, but came out on the inside. I can put up a good front, you know what I mean? I look like I got it going on. In all reality, man, I'm dying. And it wasn't just spiritual at all. I mean, it wasn't just physical. It was spiritual for a guy like me, you know? I was completely disconnected from this God of my understanding that I had. So I'm not going to go into a big drunkalog, you know, I'm the kind of alcoholic, you know, I love cheap vodka. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that, you know, maybe I'm the only cheap vodka drinker in the house, but I love that stuff, man, and I drink it by about half a gallon a day, and by no stretch of imagination, every day I drink, you know. I wasn't a part-time alcoholic, you know, I didn't have a couple drinky poos, decided to come in here and change my life, you know. I drank every day, and everything around me was just burnt down. I like to say when I showed up here that my life had been barbecued, and what I mean by that is every avenue towards something positive had been burnt up, man. I didn't have nothing left, man. I didn't show up here on top of my game at all, you know. But I tell you what, man, my relationships with my family had just been burnt down. You know, I've been a single parent, and once I start drinking, I have no idea where my kids are. You know what I mean? I was one of them fathers that would be like, here's some money. Go do what you're going to do, you know? And I remember times when my daughter, I was trying to hand my daughter some money, and she goes, I want you, fool. And she called me a fool. And she had every right to call me a fool. She's all, I want to spend time with you. And there's a part in the doctor's opinion that says frothy emotional pill seldom suffices. And that's what that means, is that no matter what the consequences were for me, that I'm probably going to lose contact with this little girl right here, it didn't bother me. That drinking was more important, you know. It was no longer a luxury, it became a necessity. In Bill's story, that's what he tells us, you know. And when I came in here and I showed up, it was like all them relationships I wanted to mend, but I knew they weren't going to mend right away, you know. But I started writing out this inventory, and I'm looking at this fourth step, and it tells me the more I trust this process and God, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity, you know. And that was like one of the first big promises that I got that came true in my life, you know. All the stuff I'm writing out on this inventory, and I got to share it, you know what I'm, and it just became a great, my greatest asset is all that stuff, all that damage I had done is what keeps me motivated here in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. And that was one of the big things that when I got here is I did not want to cause any more wreckage whatsoever, you know. And today I'm, you know, my relationships with my children isn't the best, you know. My relationship with my mother wasn't the best, but I showed up and I was a son to her right before she passed away because you people showed me that, you know. And while I was in that hospital, you people showed up and kept calling, kept checking in, you know. And that's what I love about Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember I was in that hospital and I had a spiritual awakening, you know, a moment of clarity. And I remember that, you know what, none of my old friends were out in the parking lot calling me up, say, hey, you want a drink? I'm right here in the parking lot, you know. None of my old friends. And I had you people saying, hey, we're at the bottom. If you need to come down here, we'll, or if you need us to come up, we'll be there, you know. I didn't have that kind of love out there in the streets, you know. You know, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, my life has changed miraculously, not kind of, sort of, maybe just a little, you know. And I came in here and I surrendered the program. The things I did in my first 30 days are the same willingness I have today, you know. And I hope that willingness never goes away, man, to want to do this program to the best of my ability, you know. And Billy's been there for me, and I told him I wasn't going to roast him, but, man, this guy's like an uncle. He's like a brother, you know. He's like a mentor, and I call Billy, and I talk to Billy, and every time we meet up, it's always like, we never, even though we don't talk for, well, we won't talk for a while, man, it's like, that guy, if I was to call him, he would be there, you know? And those are the people I love here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I love you, brother. And, you know, so, you know, I'm going to share about where I'm at today in my recovery. My recovery's taking a whole different turn right now. I had a sponsor who moved away to Ojai, and last weekend, he kind of, you know, talked to me about, you know, I might want to ask, you know, find another sponsor. And I held out for a whole week wondering if I should make that decision. I'm like, dude, I could just call you. He's like, no, you need FaceTime with somebody. And I'm not really going to be, you know, I'm still going to answer your calls and stuff. But when you need somebody here in Santa Maria. And so I went out on a limb to this morning and asked a gentleman to be my sponsor. And it's another gentleman who has a lot of time. It's another gentleman who has a book. And I'm a book person. I gotta do things by the book because that book has never steered me wrong. I tell you this much, that, you know, after having 2 years, 9 months, and 5 days, I found it necessary to pick up another drink. And I remember when I was out there, man, and I would flip through that book. And everything that book told me what would happen if I did the work came true in my life. And everything the book told me that would happen if I took another drink started coming true in my life. And I barely made it back, man. I barely made it back to Alcoholics Anonymous because it told me, man, for us to drink is to die. And one day I woke up, man, I was out in Goleta in this park. I had no idea where my kids were. I barely knew where I was. And I came to and I felt it right here, you know. My bottom wasn't, I got in a car accident. My bottom wasn't, you know, I almost died. You know, my bottom wasn't, they're going to send me to jail, send me back to prison. They're going to give me all this time. That wasn't my bottom. It had to hit me right here. You know, I'm a real alcoholic. What the book talks about is consequences do not get my attention whatsoever. They don't, man. They don't, you know. That's where that frothy emotional pill seldom suffices comes from. And I felt it right here, and I knew I needed to get back to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I ran back in here with my tail between my legs. And our last talk with my sponsor was about the day I showed up here. I showed up. I seen Billy in the parking lot. Gave my brother a big old hug, and I went into the meeting, and I seen the gentleman who I was going to ask to be my sponsor, and when we talk about it, he goes, dude, he's all, still to this day, I don't know why I was at that meeting, I don't normally go to that meeting, but my story has been when the student's ready, a teacher will appear, and he was there for me, you know, he was there for me, and I asked him to be my sponsor. For some reason, from that day, from May 30th, 2013 to where we're at today, that obsession has been removed, you know. And I can't explain why or how, you know. There's a chapter that says how it works, but it doesn't tell us exactly how it works. It just gives us clear-cut direction on how to do the work, you know. And that's what changed my life, man. I love the big book. You know, I found the program outline in the first 264 pages. Back to the 40s, they say it's something else, but what I believe is what I believe in. Back to the 40s, you know, I believe in all. everything, you know, everything that big book tells me. And it tells me in the foreword, I'm just going to paraphrase this real quick. It tells me in the foreword to the first edition, it says, "We of Alcoholics Anonymous are over 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book." And if you read on page 112, it tells us, read this book. That's all I got.
Thank you, Dad.
Maybe another half a stand.
Yeah.
Okay, since everyone asked Trish to come up and read the 12 traditions. All right, Trish.